standing on the promises of Christ my King, doing violations at his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm thanking all the promises of God.
Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Olds, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out our website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's speaker is Dennis Hamilton. We invite you to take your Bible, study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may send them to Dennis Hamilton, P.O. Box 1066, Winnsburg, Kentucky, 40769, or email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so thankful that you have chosen to tune in for our program that we have been so blessed to be able to present to the world out here by means of this radio program. So thankful for the opportunity to be able to stand before you and proclaim this lesson. I know that other things that you probably have on your mind this morning, but I hope that you will focus your mind on the will of the Lord, because He has blessed us so richly with these wonderful words of life. And that's exactly what they are. They're wonderful words of life that He loved us so much that He gave to mankind so that we could know His will and so that we could one day be able to spend eternity with Him in heaven if we've been found faithful. And that's the key right there, is being faithful. You know, there's a lot of things that we do in this life that are mistakes at times, and you know, and a lot of those mistakes could have been prevented when we look back on it. But one I want to talk about in particular this morning is one of backsliding. We see that a lot in the world today. People obedient to the gospel, and then they turn around and slide right back into the world. You know, yeah, we all make mistakes, don't we? Sure we do. But backsliding is one of the biggest and the most dangerous mistakes that we can make. You know, Romans 3:23 tells us that we all sin and come short of the glory of God, all of us. But the mistake that we can make is not repenting of it. You know, over there in the book of Ezekiel, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, and I encourage you to do so, and if you would like a copy of these scriptures right here, I'd be glad to send you a copy of that. My name's Dennis Hamilton. My address is P.O. Box 1066, Williamsburg, Kentucky, 40759. And if you'll send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll be glad to send you a copy of these verses. But turn with me now at this time over to Ezekiel in chapter 18 and look at these verses 24 through 28. It says, "But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. And his trespass that he hath trespassed, and his sin that he hath sinned in them, shall he die." So it won't matter how close we have lived to God before, it's what we have done now and what we continue to do. We are to be steadfast to the end. And as we read on here, it says in verse 25, "Yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live and he shall not die. So the warning right there to Israel, and that warning stands for all of us today, is continuous, and you'll continue to, does, that we are to turn from our wicked ways, turn from our life of sin, because we all sin and come short of the glory of God, don't we? You know, in Jeremiah, he mentioned several verses over about that word backsliding. And as we'll look in one in particular over here in chapter 2 and in verse 19, he said, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." Backsliding, that's a real word. You know, we've heard that probably all of our life about backsliding, but and the reason why, it's been right here in God's Word. He mentions that again over in chapter 14, verse 7 and 31, 22. The Old Testament book of Hosea, he mentions it three different times about backsliding. So yes, it is something that is a real thing. So you see, there is no once saved, always saved, because we can all sin and come short of the glory of God. We have to, when we make that commitment and we make that vow in our life that we're going to live for the Lord and we're going to do His will, you know, He wants us to keep that vow. And it's for our benefit, because the biggest mistake we can make is not living for the Lord to begin with. You know, there are people out here in the world today that are still living for the world, and basically they're living for the devil when they do that. And because of that, they are going to miss out on heaven one day. Contrary to a lot of beliefs and a lot of ideas out here, not everyone that dies goes to heaven. Actually, we don't go to heaven until the judgment. If that's our destination, we'll go to heaven or we'll go to hell on the day of judgment. That day will be a sentencing. Who will be the righteous judge? Jesus Christ. And it will be righteous. It will be fair. There will be nothing unfair about it. So with these verses that we will be looking at, I urge you, if you are a Christian that has fell back into the world, repent and live for the Lord. And also, if you're one that has never obeyed the gospel, you need to obey the gospel. If you need to know how to do that, come and worship with us here at the Brummett Church of Christ. We'll be glad to show you what you need to do according to what God's Word tells us to do. But now let's get back to our lesson. Look at what Peter wrote over in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22. He says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, 'The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.'" Why are such descriptions given like that for someone that turns back to the world and leaves the Lord? Because their sins had been cleaned up. They had been purged from them. And then they go right back into that same situation. That's the reason why it describes it like a dog going back and eating the very thing that caused it to be sick. Sin makes us spiritually sick. Sin will condemn you to hell. So yes, that is why we need it out of our life. We need to be a faithful Christian, as we read over there in 1 John chapter 1, so that we can repent and get forgiveness of our sins. But that's the key right there. This is the way God looks at a person that goes back to the world and goes right back into the same situation they were before. And just like that sow that returned back to the wallow after being cleaned up, the very thing that dirtied it to begin with. You know, there's a lot of mistakes that Christians make in life, but, you know, the greatest mistake a Christian can ever make is that of backsliding. Or if it's a person that's never obeyed the gospel, the worst mistake you can make is to not be ready. Whether you're an unfaithful Christian or whether you've never obeyed the gospel, when you are unprepared for the day that Jesus Christ returns, there is only one destination for you, and that's hell for eternity. And that's it. Now, you can say, oh, I don't believe that all you want. But God's word confirms that. So what do we do to prevent these mistakes to begin with? That's the key right here. Is you can prevent a mistake before it happens. That's wonderful. But, we've all made mistakes doing something, building something, fixing something. And you look back on it, I made some bad mistakes there. I should have done this or I shouldn't have done that. But right here, this is more important than that will ever be. Look at what we see over here in about Psalm 119, verse 11. You know, this is another way to make sure that we don't make the mistake of not being ready on that day, and we can prevent it. Let God say something to us every day. That's right. That's what I said. How do you do that? Well, look at what we read in Psalm 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Yes, there is possibly no better way to prevent backsliding than this, the word of God. Each and every day, that's how you let God say something to you. These words are spirit. These words were given to us so that we'll know what his thoughts are, so that we'll know what his will is. And it's his will that we need to be pleasing. We shouldn't be pleasing ourselves. So yes, look into his word each and every day. You know, so many go day after day without looking into God's book, the Bible. They say they refuse to allow God to say something to them. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to hear that they're doing wrong. But you see, God has many things to say to us if we will look into his word. You know, we ought to be anxious to listen. We ought to be glad to listen. We ought to be, you know, we pick up papers and magazines all the time and books and so forth. And we'll sit there and read them for hours. Look into something that's going to benefit you, something that's going to help you and save your soul one day. You know, he has a lot to say to us. Look at Mark 4 and verses 23 through 24. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Yes, take heed to what you hear. You'll have a knowledge of God's word, and you can be just like those noble Bereans that we read about in Acts 17, verse 11. You know, look at what we read about them. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were receiving it. They were eager to receive it. But look at what they did and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They looked into God's word to see if what was being taught was correct. This is the same eagerness that we should have today, just like Peter described it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Just like a young baby that desires that bottle of milk, desires it, it's hungry, it wants that. We should have that same hunger and that same desire there for the word of God. You know, over there in Psalm 119 and verse 105, look at what it also says about God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It will guide you through this world. It will help you with any situation you can think of. It will, first of all, and first and foremost, it will show you how to save your soul by obedience to God's word. He instructs us in exactly what we need to do so that we can be ready on either the day of death or the day of judgment, whichever one it may be. But right now in this life, we can use the word of God just like using a flashlight or some other kind of light source to help us, you know, through this world right here. When you're out walking around at night, you have to have a source of light to be able to see. Otherwise, you stumble. This is what God's word does for us. It helps us through this world of darkness. It'll help us and prevent us from stumbling by sinning when we look into it and have a knowledge of it. You know, we should find a great delight in God's word. The psalmist also said in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, yes. This is what we, if we will focus on that, what a wonderful thing it will be, how it will help us so much, but how it will give us, help us to be so prepared for that day when Jesus Christ returns or death. You know, we also, you know, but we see also that this, you know, this should not just be a mere glance at it. Just don't look at it a little bit, but no, study God's Word. That's why Paul wrote over in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, study it so that you can meet whose approval? God's. His approval is the one that counts, isn't it? It should be. And by doing so, you won't be ashamed. You'll have a knowledge of His Word. You'll be able to rightly divide it. Over there in John chapter 5 and verse 39, look at what Christ said. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This is what these words do when we study these words. Did you ever know of anyone backsliding who allowed God to talk to them every day? You know, we backslide when we stop reading and studying the Scriptures. Those that are diligent studiers of God's Word, you know, they will be strong. They'll put on the whole armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 that'll help us to prevent those times, that'll help us to be ready when Satan tries to tempt us in any way. If you recall over there in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness there and he had fasted for 40 days and nights, who was it that came placing the temptations before him? The devil did. Jesus fought it off. How? With the Word of God. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus, it describes him as the Word in the flesh. It describes him as the light. And it's that way we can have that same light in our life. We can have that same armor. We can have that same defense today with the knowledge of God's Word. What else do we need to do, though, to prevent that backsliding or going back to this world? Let us say something to God every day. You know, many times a day we should pray to God. Over in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. At every opportunity, pray to the Lord. You know, pray and show our gratitude. Pray and ask for advice. Pray and ask for help. Pray to make decisions. Pray for if someone is sick. Pray if someone's got some type of problem in their life. But the most important thing is to be a faithful child of God so that you can pray and so that your prayers will be heard. You know, Paul also said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to pray to Him. That's what Paul was saying right there. That's why he said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. You know, all too often, basically, we're just not thankful for enough for what all that God does for us, what He blesses us with each and every day. That's why we need to pray. You know, the thing about prayer, you know, I heard this said one time, prayer will stop sin or sin will stop prayer. If you look over there in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is what Jesus told Peter and them. You know, and because this flesh is weak. And we need to pray for strength. Pray to make the right decisions. Pray that we don't allow temptation to rule our life. You know, you can be tempted, that's one thing. But it's giving in to that temptation that we have to avoid. Jesus didn't give in to it. Some would say, well, he was a child, he was a son of God. Well, he wasn't going to give in no temptation. You know, we can do the same thing. There's a lot of sins that we can avoid by having a knowledge of God's Word, and it will prevent us from falling prey to these temptations that Satan places before us. We read also over there in Luke 22, verse 40, it says, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation." Continually there. You know what sin does? Sin stops prayer. It stops us from being able for our prayers to be heard. Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That's right. If we're living a sinful life, and we're living for the world, and then we get sick or one of our family members gets sick, well, who are we to think that, oh, I'm going to go pray now? Well, why would God want to hear you now? You're not living for him. You know, Peter said over there in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but," and that's a big word right there, "but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he said there in chapter 28, verse 9, "He that turneth his way away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." If you're not going to be obedient to the Lord, don't think that he's going to hear your prayers just because you got in a bind or someone got sick or whatever. No. You need to live for him so that he will hear those prayers. And that's how that we can prevent ourselves from backsliding, going back into the world. Prayer does so much. Just like James said in James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Indeed it does. You know, Elijah, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed, and then it started raining. That was a faithful man. That was a righteous man, though, praying there, you see. You know, another way that we can prevent it is let us say something for God every day. You know, if we'll focus our minds on serving the Lord, he'll take care of everything else. He has promised us that he will take care of everything else. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, when you look over in God's Word, chapter 6 of Matthew, look at what he said there in verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, what is it he's going to take care of? He's going to take care of what we need to eat. He's going to take care of what clothing, shelter. He'll see to those things. Now, don't think you're going to be driving around in the fanciest car that ever was or the biggest house that ever was. No, he'll give us the necessities of life. That's a promise. God doesn't go back on his promises. So that's why we need to focus our attention on speaking for him. It's our duty. It's our purpose there. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, Jesus knew his purpose. His purpose was to come down here and present the word to people and pass that along, that responsibility, to his apostles, who would in turn speak those words there they were inspired to write. But also it was to die on that cross for you and I. And so it's our duty to tell others about, you know, what Jesus Christ did for them and how he died for all mankind. You know, we should be saying something to God every day. Every time we have an opportunity, whether it's someone who is an alien sinner, in other words, have never obeyed the gospel, or if it's one that's erred from the truth, a Christian that has backslid. So yes, if we have that opportunity, that's what we need to do. Didn't Christ say over Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He was giving those apostles there that responsibility. Mankind was to carry on that responsibility. People, you know, proclaiming the Word of God. It doesn't have to always be from the pulpit like a preacher. No. You can speak to someone one-on-one. You can tell them, you know, show that love, that Christian love that we're supposed to have, that kindness to others. Show others there, you know, what God has done for you and the happiness that you have in your life from serving him. And also, if there's brothers out here that need to obey the gospel that have strayed. Just like James said in chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." You see, our speech should have more for God in it. We are far too prone not to speak a word for God. Look at what he did for us. Oh, yes. All those opportunities that we have each and every day to speak to someone, show that the love of God in our hearts, showing the happiness that we have and what he has done for us. We should be doing that all the time. So also, let's do something for God every day. Our days are filled with doing things, but too often not enough of that is doing that for God. Too many don't want to sacrifice that time, you see. We read over there in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's a reasonable service that we can go about speaking to others concerning Jesus Christ. Nothing unreasonable about it. And so, yes, when we have that opportunity, do something there. Talk to others there. Do something and show them the life that you live now and living for the Lord. And keep in mind, the yoke of Jesus Christ, he describes it as being easy. Easy compared to that yoke of sin. He tells us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He doesn't put more on us than we're able to bear. His commandments are not grievous, is what 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 tells us. So don't make the mistake of thinking God has forgotten about a sin or sins that you've not repented of. Oh, and don't make the worst mistake and not be ready to face Jesus in judgment, because many will do that. I thank you for your time, and I hope we have mentioned a few things of interest to you and touched your heart in some way. And as I said earlier, if you have the opportunity to come and worship with us here at the Brummett Church of Christ, my name is Dennis Hamilton. Be glad to be able to answer any questions you may have right from God's Word. And at this time, I hope you have a good day.
Walking inside.